Good evening, everyone. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. And our participant code is 385-698. You can find that information on our website, nationallibertyalliance.org. Top left side, click on Weekly Call. All radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have any questions or comments. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. By the way, Gerard, have you seen any questions coming in? I didn't see any questions come in this week, I don't think. But maybe you could take a look.
Nothing that we haven't answered, John. There's been some questions that kind of got answered.
Okay. All right. Please support our business partners. You can see their banners on our right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's effort to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. And I guess we'll start off looking into God's Word. Tonight we're going to look into 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Some months back I had made reference to this and gave a, sort of a synopsis of this story we're going to read tonight. We're going to read verses... chapter 20. I'm going to read from verses 1 through 27. A couple of weeks ago, someone had brought this chapter up in conversation and made reference to it, and as soon as I opened it up, I recognized this particular chapter. And tonight I thought, I think it's time to read it. I don't believe we did read this in the past, so we're going to read it tonight. It's very pertinent to where we are in life and our success. The enemy has been suppressing technology from us for 50 years and probably better. But they've been suppressing technology and releasing only a little at a time. They are far, far more advanced than what we are, weaponry-wise and in every way we can think of. And that's what makes them a very formidable enemy. We have to go up against their technology. But their dependence on technology could be their undoing also. Gerard keeps bringing this up. God can undo the whole thing at any time. Put what they call an EMP. I think that's what it's called. Or a solar flare, which can shut everything down. Without the help of God, we don't have really much of a chance. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And in order for God to be for us, it's not that God is on our side or anybody else's side. It's either we're doing the right thing and we are on his side. And he doesn't let his children fall. And when you read your Bible, anybody who does read their Bible, God always comes in to save the day. And more often than not, it is in the last moment. It's always 1 second to midnight. But let's take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others besides the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazonatamah, which is En-En-En-Jeti. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed the fast throughout all Judea. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathens? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou shalt wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt not thou judge them? For we have no might against this company, this great company, that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benadiah, the son of Jeriel, the son of Manathiah, a Levite of the sons of Asphath, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell in before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of Kenahites and the children of the Korhites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty and the holiness of the holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set an ambushment against the children of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount Seir, which there came against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of the Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And then Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness. They looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and the people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than that they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoils. It was so much. I think that brings us to the end of the 25. Let me see. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Barahashah, For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berahasha unto this day. Okay, so we'll end the reading there. Okay, the story is ultimately that God will fight our battles. You know, this is not our war. You know, we look out into the world and we see a darkness so great that we can touch it, we can feel it. And, you know, they're ready to close the great iron fist and bring the whole world into subjection to themselves. These people seem to think that they own the world. I mean, they are so evil. And they stop at nothing. They think nothing of killing people, creating torment on many, and it doesn't seem to bother them. So I think, you know, here we are. I don't know that you can get any evil than what these people's intentions are onto us in the world. And so this is God's battle. This isn't our battle. We only have to do one thing, and that's the right thing. Whatever that might be that's in front of you as an individual, just do the right thing. Okay, tonight's topic, we're going to take a look at a paper that we wrote, and we did file this paper. It was filed early this morning. It was sent, put into the mail early this morning. It was served on to the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And it was also filed in all 94 federal district courts. Also today, all of that went into the mail early this morning. You can get a copy of this up at nationallibertyalliance.org and click on media. Let me get up there, make sure I do have it up there. I'm pretty sure I did post it. Let's see. Did you get up there yet, Gerard? I'm pretty sure I did post this paper. You know what? I did not post this paper. I'm going to take a moment to post this paper. While I'm doing that, Gerard, do you have anything you might want to add to any of these things or make any comments or talk about anything particular that's coming up or what we're doing? While I go and see if I can get this paper posted so people can read along with us, this writ mandamus. If you're talking, we're not hearing you.
Well, if Gerard may not, but I do.
Go ahead. I'm going to post this while you're doing that.
Yeah. In about 3 days, we're going to have a revamping of the menu up at the top of the webpage. It's going to be compressed a little bit, but you're going to see some different menus to get through into our queues and directories. What I want to talk about is, I said queues, I meant committees. You're going to see a significant number of committees. And you're going to have the option to be able to join these committees. We are planning on having committee leaders for all of these committees in advance. And we will be most likely, most of the committees are going to be open where everybody can join them. For example, my favorite one that's going to be opening up, smart meters. We have a warrior here in Michigan. She is definitely suffered in the trenches, practically living in the trenches in a way compared to some people. Her power has been turned off for 8 months. Even though she did everything according to the power company's rules here in Michigan, DTE, the big devil in my area, she's been battling them. And she has a lot of information to share. She also is a health and wellness guru, which is going to be a term, an appellation that I'm going to give her. She probably would turn it down, but she is an expert in health and wellness. So we're going to have herself as well as a few of her, some of her friends and other people leading some of our committees and actually starting to post some helpful information. So if you're wanting to join some of these committees to either get in and have some meetings, which are going to be taking place, join the committee. You don't have to join the committee to be able to get in on their calls. But at first, until things smooth out, there may not be any other way of knowing when the meetings are. But we're planning on giving them a page, and we're planning on giving all of the committees a page where they can post the information about their meetings. We're also going to be posting or adding in a custom forum for each of the committees. These committees are going, these forums are going to be locked to be posted only by committee members, because we've been kind of going a little wild in our committees. You'll find inapplicable postings under different committees, that things that just don't belong there. And this is going to help prevent that. So if you have a committee that's near and dear to your heart, and you may not necessarily want to participate deeply, but you may want to get your word in, you can do that. You can join the committee, and then you'll be able to post. And then that will ensure that all of our information is where it can be easily found. Because when some people, when they post something, and I've seen some very incredibly good information posted, but where it's never going to be found. And that's not doing ourselves any favors. So the structure of the committees is going to be incredibly helpful. We're also going to be adding a tool where it's going to be a spreadsheet online for tracking, so people can monitor what stage their cases are in. They're going to be able to see maybe the spreadsheet will be used for dates of some activity or process that's going on within a committee. So we're going to have more information available. But then again, also the writing to these spreadsheets is going to be pretty locked down. We want to keep it locked down only to prevent potential vandalism to the site, but really just to keep the order so that the information is exactly where you expect to find it. You'll find facts under facts. You'll find smart meters under smart meters. And I will yield the floor. But did I say 3 days? I hope so. This will all be rolling out between starting tomorrow through probably through Thursday or Friday, depending on how long it takes us. But good stuff.
All right, I'm almost done. I did have some technical issues here. Gerard, do you have anything you might want to bring up while I'm posting this paper here for reading? We are getting some feedback to someone, by the way.
I did get a question about can we file a habeas corpus for an automobile case, and I think we've discussed that in the past. Okay,
we can file one for anyone, but you know, anything really. But I don't know that we want to put our time into those things when there are people in jail. And that's our big concern.
Yeah, no, in other words, the form will work. Now, whether or not NLA would do it, we wouldn't do it from the common law grand jury's perspective. But if somebody knew how to do habeas corpuses, they certainly could file one in that case. You know, if they're not going to answer because they can't answer, because they have to admit that they're not a real court. And so they'll always default. So you always get them on that due process, and so I guess the short answer is sure, you can file it on a automobile, you know, on a right to travel type thing. The only thing is we're not doing them at this point. Our teams are not doing them because we have just so many horror stories out there that we're trying to get through and help. You know, we're doing like triage in an emergency room, you know, and trying to stop the bleeding as best we can, and it's pretty huge what's going on out there, you know. I mean, although, you know, traffic court is a good place to practice if you want to get practice in court, because you don't have that much at stake, and ultimately you can always pay the fine and be released. So you're not playing with your life, you're not playing with your property, you know, you're not playing with, you know, you get some experience of writing paperwork and standing there and talking to the judge. And I mean, that's how many of us started out. It was traffic court. You know, I learned early on that I could go to court and plead my own case and do a plea bargain and get as much, if not more, than a lawyer would get me if I hired a lawyer, and I got to give the lawyer $500 or $600, and they're always bargaining the ticket anyway. And pretty soon, you know, it became very clear that blatantly that that's what they had intended on doing to begin with. Why give a lawyer $500 or $600? You go through and do it yourself. And I really believe you actually have more leverage going in yourself, because the lawyers, they know they can control. You know, you get somebody with some law experience in there, they don't know what they're going to do. You know, sometimes they get you, they just give you your way to get you out of there because they don't want to deal with your shenanigans. They're not used to the questions that they're being asked and the paperwork that's being filed, you know. And so a lot of times, you know, when we went to court, what we called the victory is when they let us go. They made a deal. They threw us out. They, you know, and we'll say, oh, we had a victory. And people go, I don't see where you had a victory. Well, they're not gonna list that on the docket that you were let go because you put so much paperwork in that they couldn't answer, and they end up dropping your case. You know, they're not gonna write that in there. They're not gonna let other people see that. A lot of times with the traffic court cases, if you're articulate and you stand up and you talk, the judges don't like that because they lose the decorum of the courtroom. We had one guy that went in and really answered the judge well and put everybody on the spot, and the DA. And then when he got down to the other guy that was next, he says, I want to do what he did. The whole courtroom just, you know, they don't like that, you know. So if you're in a local area and you get into court a lot, eventually they learn who you are. And pretty soon you'll find out that if you got a hearing to go to, you end up in a room by yourself, which is very unusual. You know, they went through the trouble of giving us our own private courtroom because they didn't want us tainting the public, letting them know that we, the people, can answer them. So, you know, traffic court is a very powerful place, you know, as far as that goes. It's a good place for the people to learn the system. I mean, don't get me wrong. You could end up in jail. I mean, you get too mouthy and he holds you in contempt, you'll spend the night in jail. There's no doubt about it. But generally speaking, you know, you can do what you want to do and you can get your practice. And if it gets to be too much or it looks like it's going too far, you pay the fine and you get out and you mark it up for experience state. So that's a very long answer to a short question there. Are you ready yet, John?
Go ahead. I don't want to go on. Thank you, Gerard.
Okay,
I'm ready. Okay, yeah, it is now posted up there. If you go to nationallibertyalliance.org, click on media, and you'll see mandamus to the U.S. Supreme Court, filed all 94 federal court district courts today, July 20th. And so we're going to read through this. It's we're trying to keep all of these short. This is probably the longest we're going to write, which is 8 pages, and the last page is very, very little, and the first page is very, very little. So, but we want to keep them short. We've said that we've already primed the pump, so to speak. We've put a lot of information into the court in the first seven papers. And those seven papers, some of them were 23 pages long, some were 16, 18 pages long. They were very long papers. And because we had a lot to cover, a lot of information to lay out, and preparations, should we go under martial law and they try to take the people over, you know, what everyone needs to be doing, you know. And we wrote all these things to get them into the courts, to reveal the evil, to shine a light on the dark place. And some people might think it's crazy, that aren't paying attention and don't understand. They think this is a conspiracy theory. And I'm sure a lot of elected people think this is nutty. But you know what? For those people, when the time comes, then they'll say, well, maybe these guys weren't so nuts after all. But at least they'll know that everyone else knows. At least they'll know what to do. You know, the sheriffs that weren't paying attention, maybe, you know, we told them what they need to be doing during this time of an emergency. And the reason, again, we wrote it is so that when the time comes that they'll remember, oh, yeah, you know, we're supposed to be doing this. Why don't we, you know, do the plan? Because what else are they going to do? The key thing to take over your enemy is to confuse them, prevent communication, so there is no orderly response to whatever's coming down upon you. You know, so they really just want to, you know, silence you and really prevent you from organizing and doing something about it. Well, these papers are organizing us. It's also, I think, letting those who do know that the people know, and we're not small in number. We're pretty large in number. We're something to be reckoned with, and that we're doing something about it, and we're standing up, and we're going to get stronger and stronger, and at some point, these people in government will start standing up also. So that's why all these papers are so important. Now we want to sort of pinpoint, sort of do smart bombs, if you want. You know, we did something to the governor, very direct, very specific, very short. Okay, now we did something to the Supreme Court, justices of the United States of America. There's something short, specific, focused, particular. The governors are responsible for what goes on in their country. They are responsible. They need to protect that country that they have been elected as governor to, and to make sure that country is a Republican form of government. That's their duty. And so when we laid a paper out to them very specifically, that there's going to be subversion of the people through Jade Helm. And by the way, you know, it's been pretty quiet from what I heard. I have not heard of Jade Helm moving in any way, shape, or form. There might have been a few little skirmishes here and there that we haven't heard about. I don't know. Maybe someone's got some stories. But certainly they have not moved in a big way. And the question is why. They were supposed to make their move mid-June, actually. The plan was July 15th or July 4th, somewhere between the 4th and the 15th. That was their original plan, I perceive, I think, from everything that I heard. And this we found out way back in March. And then they moved it ahead, meaning moving it earlier. They moved it to June 15th. And we were able to get all our papers work in before June 15th. Our first seven papers were filed before June 15th. And I believe that our paperwork had a lot to do with slowing it down because we revealed with their plan. And anybody who listens to Alex Jones, he talks about that all the time. You know, well, we revealed it quick enough that they had to collapse it. They had to do Plan B. They had to change their direction. Too many people knew. And I agree with him. When too many people know, then they have to change their plan. They got to figure something else out. And so I think we foiled them, at least at this point. They haven't given up, of course not. But we're not going to let up either. And so I think, we're holding them back. We have more papers to come. Every week we become stronger and stronger. We get more and more people that learn about us and become and start working with us to save the nation the only way we possibly can, and that's through the people. Only the people can save America. We can't elect anybody to save America. It's not going to happen. Not one Supreme Court justice is going to be able to save America. Not a good man in the office of presidency is going to save America. Not even a few good men in Congress. It's just not going to happen. Only the people can save the Republic, can save America. So that's the purpose of this paperwork. And again, you know, we are having victories. With habeas corpus, we had the two victories. We're about ready to really open the gates on this pretty soon. I mean, we're ready to file quite a few papers and indictments. And we're going to continue on with this. And we're going to continue to talk strong. And that is the key thing, you know, talk with confidence, bring up the truth. The truth cannot be denied. It just can't be denied. And that's what makes them weak, when people stand up with surety with the truth and say, it doesn't matter what you say here, the facts are the facts, and this is it, here's the facts. We the people ordained, we the people established, not you judges, not you elected officials. You know, judges don't get to rule over their masters. From whence did that come from? Where did that come from? Whose idea was that? I'll tell you whose idea that was, the tyrant's idea, that they should rule over us, the masters. Anyway, we're going to read this paper now. It's writ mandamus, is quorum nobis, by we the people ourselves, from the king's bench. And by the way, the king of the court is God. We have to acknowledge that. That's what our founding father set up. That's the king of the court. It's not you. It's not me. It's God. Now, it is true that the Lord is king of kings, and to some degree, of course, we're princes, we're kings of ruled by the king. But we sit on the king's bench. That's what we do. We represent the king. We bring forth his will, and we do that by ruling with principles. We come in with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. And we look at the facts, and we try to apply those things, honor, justice, and mercy. And we try to apply to the best of our ability his law, and we try to find restitution to restore the individual that was injured. And it's not all about putting people in jail. It's about making these people who injured another to repair the problem, however that may be. People don't necessarily have to go to jail. Now, of course, there are cases where that is necessary, but that the jury's got to figure out as they go along, you know? But it's the king's bench. The Lord is king in our court. As Benjamin Franklin said, we will either be ruled by God or tyrants. There is no other choice. If you're going to put a man as king, if you're going to be king of that court, then it's a man in that court and not God, and we will always fall back to the same problems over and over again. Tyrants will take over, and tyrants will destroy, and tyrants will put us into subjection and incarcerate us. Today, you know, we have a whole world incarcerated by statutes. We're in a statutory prison they have constructed over the past 80 or so or 100 years. Okay, Unified United States Common Law Grand Juries filed in the United States District Court for all 94 districts. They've been filed in all 94 courts. It's we the people via the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, the Sureties of Peace, commanding all nine justices in Washington. We named them all. It starts off writ mandamus. The purpose of this writ in a court of record de jure by we the people in all 94 federal district courts under the case number 1776, 1789, 2015 is to restore the king's court and his laws. We the people continue and forever hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. A parasitical enemy of justice, by which name you are called and presently stand in contradiction, because you treat fiction of law, which is fraud, as just law, has seized control of a federal city through the bar and special interest groups, writing and enforcing unjust statutes and stacking our courts with seditious judges. Our form of government survives hidden under an insidious corporate veil, but many of our elected and appointed servants have sold their souls for money and power, destroying our way of life to make ready for their new world order. They will not succeed. The terms equity and chancery, courts of equity, courts of chancery, are constantly used as synonyms in the United States. It is presumed that this custom arises from the circumstances that the equity jurisdiction, which is exercised by the courts of the various states, is assimilated to that processed by the English courts of chancery. Indeed, in some of the states, it is made identical therewith by statutes, so far as conformable to our institutions. Wagner versus Armstrong. This propagandized presumption of custom, not law, is antagonistic to the Supremacy Clause and serves only to suppress justice. equity courts, proceeding according to the rules of Chancery, found its unlawful beginnings in the Judiciary Act of 1789, which established the judicial courts of the United States, whereas the legislators exceeded their authority in an act repugnant to the Constitution, and it is therefore void. Equity is restricted sense, as is by our Constitution. In other words, equity is restricted in America by our Constitution. So equity, in a restricted sense, is a system of jurisprudence. And in our case, it's American jurisprudence. Or branch of remedial justice administered by certain tribunals. Of course, that's justice. That's judges. Distinct from the common law courts and empowered to decree equity in the sense last above given. Here it becomes a complex of well-settled and well-understood rules and principles and precedences. Isabelli Properties versus Elderman. For servants do not judge their masters. So the point of this paragraph that's really being made here is the fact that any judge that rules in any court is ruling in an equity court. And, of course, to rule in an equity court, he has to be given that acknowledgement to make that rule by the person by whom he's ruling over. But he is also committed to rule under these rules, under these precedences and principles and rules that are well settled in American jurisprudence. And that's a book. American Jurisprudence is a book. And it lists, again, exactly what we just said, rules, principles, and precedences. And they're very well established, and they are all common law. They are solid in the Constitution. The term court of law means courts of common law. A court for the people, quorum ipso regi, before the king himself, God. A court of record is a judicial tribunal. That's either the jury, well, that is the jury, also known as the king's bench. Having attributes and exercising functions independently of the person of the magistrate designed generally to hold it, and proceeding according to the course of common law, its acts and proceedings being enrolled for perpetual memorial. Jones versus Jones. So there are the two courts right there. There is only one jurisdiction in the United States. That's common law. And that common law, we created a constitution which becomes a written common law. We the people ordained and established that constitution for our servants. And of course, the Bill of Rights restricts their action even more than the Constitution. The Constitution is read and understood in light of the Bill of Rights. And of course, the Declaration of Independence was the beginning of our country. That also is part of our common law, a written instrument that we hold up as law, just as we do the Magna Carta and the Holy Bible. And but in any event, there's only one jurisdiction, but there are two courts, courts of law and courts of equity. And again, courts of law are ruled by juries. Courts of equity are ruled by a judge who is held and bound by American jurisprudence. And that is the key. And once they come outside of American jurisprudence, once they make a decision outside of those set of rules and principles and precedences that we the people set before them, then they are in dishonor, they're acting under the color of law, and they move the court into another jurisdiction. Now, it's critical that people understand this, because this is the key to going into our courts. If you don't understand what our courts are to be and what their courts, what they have created, and you can't see the difference between the two, the contrast between them, then, of course, you can't really make a position in a court that is sensible. And you'll find yourself contradicting yourself, trying to, as you try to move around this court, which is really nothing but a labyrinth, trying to move around their courts. Okay, equity courts in America are bound by the supremacy clause, whereas judges in every state shall be bound by the law of the land. Judges are to rule by a collection of truths entitled American jurisprudence. Now, in the equity courts, of course, there is processes. There's a couple of different courts that you can appeal to. You know, you get a single judge come in and makes a rule, should be ruling under these under this collection of truth entitled American Jurisprudence. And if he goes outside that, and you can appeal to the appellate court, and then there's the Court of Appeals, and then there's the final court of the United, you know, the justices of the United States Supreme, well, the Supreme Court of the United States of America. So that's your final appeal. But they should be standing in American jurisprudence. Courts of law, and by the way, also, you know, on the other side of that, courts of law, which is a jury, is final. They don't get a chance to overturn anything. When the people speak, it's done. So whenever you have a jury, that's the final word, their decision. It cannot be overturned, overruled by any judge. Let's see where we're at. Equity courts in America are bound by the supremacy court. Okay, I read that. Courts of law are any duty constituted tribunal, also known as a jury, proceeding according to the course of the common law, administering lawful laws of the state and or nation. American equity courts are courts of law in a narrow sense, held by an elected or an appointed jurist, that's a judge, proceeding according to the course of the common law, governed by American jurisprudence. Courts of equity proceeding according to the rules of chancery are not courts of law, but fiction. Hereinafter, de facto courts. These de facto courts operate entirely under fiction of law. That court, which would deprive people of the rights of people or property without a regular trial, according to the course and the usage of common law, would not be operating under the law of the land. The general rule is that an unconstitutional statute, though having the form and name of law, is in reality no law, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment. In legal contemplation, it is as inoperative as if it had never been passed. Since an unconstitutional law is void, the general principle follows that it imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protection, and justifies no acts performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional law cannot operate to supersede any existing law. Indeed, insofar as a statute runs counter to the fundamental law of the land, the Constitution, it is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional law, and no courts are bound to enforce it. Bonnet versus Valia. Subsequently, courts are created by law, and we, the sovereign people, established and ordained that law that created, defined, restricted, and empowered the third branch of government, Article 3 courts. It therefore must follow that the general rule is that an unconstitutional court, though having the form and the name of a court, is in reality no court, but is wholly void and ineffective for any purpose, since its unconstitutionality dates from the time of its enactment. In legal contemplation, it is inoperative as if it had never been empowered. Since an unconstitutional court is void, the general principle also follows that it imposes no duties, confers no rights, creates no office, bestows no power or authority on anyone, affords no protection, and justifies no acts performed under it. A void act cannot be legally consistent with a valid one. An unconstitutional court cannot operate to supersede any existing court. Indeed, insofar as a court runs counter to the fundamental laws of the land, it is superseded thereby. No one is bound to obey an unconstitutional court, and no lawful courts are bound to enforce its ruling. Courts that violate the plain and obvious principles of common law and common reason are null and void. Our Constitution was founded upon common law, principled by virtue, and not the feeble decrees of men. Article 6 made clear that every judge in every state is bound by the supreme law of the land. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any states, to the contrary, notwithstanding. The Supreme Court of the United States of America has held all laws, rules, and practices which are repugnant to the Constitution are null and void, Marbury versus Madison. Where rights secured by the Constitution are involved, there can be no rulemaking or legislation which would abrogate them, Miranda versus Arizona. That statute which would deprive a citizen of the rights of person or property without a regular trial according to the course and usage of common law would not be the law of the land, Hoke versus Henderson. Therefore, fiction of law is fraud, null and void, and its advocates cannot stand. All judges hold office during good behavior. That is to say, when their decisions are governed by American jurisprudence. Judges acting outside of jurisprudence, under the color of law, war against the Constitution, are in bad behavior and will be removed from office. We, the people, vested power in one Supreme Court and in such inferior courts as Congress may ordain and establish. Thus, the duty of the Supreme Court of the United States of America on Article 3, Section 1, is to obey the law of the land and ensure that all inferior courts do the same. Sadly, they are not. The Supreme Court of the United States of America, being the third branch of government, shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion of rights. We, the people, never ordained and established a jurisdiction for chancery courts that today operate under fiction of law, and no judge is to usurp that which is not given, and in doing so, wars against our republican form of government, our Constitution, and we the people, of which the Supreme Court is to guarantee and protect against. Therefore, it is the duty of the Supreme Court of the United States of America in this time of national distress to take a stand with we the people and order by mandamus judges or by mandamuses judges opening fictitious de facto courts in place of de jure courts of justice to cease and desist or be subject to removal of office. Failure to act will be considered fraud, felony rescue, bad behavior, and in contempt of this court. The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of a court of this court would be. It is as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. It puts an end to inquiry concerning the facts by deciding it. Ex parte Williams, 3 Peter, cited in numerous cases. All legislative acts that presume to empower such courts of fiction do so claiming a fantasy authority from the people under Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 17 and 18, which they claim permitted them to create a nation within a nation for an oligarchy to possess ownership of the United States of America's seat of power and the people as chattel, as these de facto courts settle accounts favorable to corporations, both civil and criminal. See writ mandamus to all federal and state elected appointed servants dated June 6, 2015, filed in all 94 federal district courts. And we give the index number. A copy in all and all papers are filed under the same index number are also found at nationallibertyalliance.org/RICO. Thomas Jefferson discovered 8 ancient principles of common law, which became the foundation of our Declaration of Independence, United States Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. They are, number 1, sound government should be based on self-evident evident truths. These truths should be so obvious, so rational, and so morally sound that their authenticity is beyond reasonable dispute. Number 2, the equal stations of mankind here on earth is a cosmic reality, an obvious and inherent aspect of the law of nature and nature's God. Number 3, this presupposes, as a self-evident truth, that the Creator made human beings equal in their rights, equal before the bar of justice, and equal in His sight. Of course, individual attributes and personal circumstances in life vary wildly. Four, these rights, which have been bestowed by the Creator on each individual, are unalienable. That is, they cannot be taken away or violated without the offender coming under the judgment and wrath of the Creator. A person may have other rights, such as those which have been created as a vested right by statute, but vested rights are not unalienable. Right to life, the right to liberty. Number five, right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to pursue happiness, so long as it does not invade the inherent rights of others. Among the most important of the unalienable rights are the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to pursue whatever course of life a person may desire in search of happiness, so long as it does not invade the inherent rights of others. Number six, reason for government is to protect and preserve our unalienable rights. Number seven, no office or agency of government has any right to exist except by the consent of the people. Number eight, if a government, either by malfeasance or neglect, fails to protect these rights, or even worse, if the government itself begins to violate those rights, then it is the right and duty of the people to regain control of their affairs and set up a form of government which will serve the people better. Any act of Congress that denies these principles are null and void, an act of treason. The only jurisdiction is common law. Any other jurisdiction forced upon the people is treason. We judges have no more right to decline and the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. Cohen versus Virginia. De facto courts operating under fiction is not based on truths, nor not reality, sound, not morally sound, denies equal stations of mankind, denies the laws of nature, denies nature's God, denies unalienable rights, denies equality, denies right to life, denies right to liberty, denies the right to pursue happiness, and finally exists without the consent of we the people. If a government, either by malfeasance or neglect, fails to protect those rights, or even worse, if that government itself begins to violate those rights, then it is the right and the duty of the people to regain control of their affairs and set up a form of government which will serve the people better. No judicial process, whatsoever form it may assume, can have any lawful authority outside of the limits of the jurisdictions of the court or judges by whom it is issued, and an attempt to enforce it beyond these boundaries is nothing less than lawless violence. Albman versus Booth. Fiction of law relies upon USC 26 for legal definitions, jurisdictions, and authority, which has no legal effect. 26 USC 7806 B. No inference, implication, or presumption of legislative construction shall be drawn or made by reason of the location or grouping of any particular section or provision or portion of this title, nor shall any table of contents, table of cross-reference, or similar outline analysis or descriptive matter relating to the contents of this title be given any legal effect. In other words, U.S. Title 26 is not law, it is fiction. The preceding sentence also applies to the side notes and ancillary tables contained in the various prints of this act before its enactment into law. So U.S. Title 26 is no law at all. And if U.S. Title 26 is no law at all, it is the foundation, the fundamental principles, the interpretation of all fiction of law. Therefore, there is no fiction of law. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of government outside supreme law finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. No higher duty rests upon this court than to exert its full authority to prevent all violations of the principles of the Constitution. Downs versus Bidwell. An evil day for American liberty has sadly arrived. Every federal and state court proceeds under chancery, thereby denying we the people's common law. Judges refuse to keep their oaths, ignoring both the Constitution and American jurisprudence, acts of treason and bad behavior, thereby warring and inflicting lawless violence. Any judge who does not comply with his oath to the Constitution of the United States wars against the Constitution and engages in acts of violence of the supreme law of the land. The judge is engaged in acts of treason. Cooper versus Aaron. Ordered, all justices of the Supreme Court for the United States of America are commanded to respond, united as one court, and or, if necessary, individually, by writ mandamus ordering all judges in all 94 federal district courts as follows. 1. All courts are to proceed under the law and equity only. 2. All courts are to cease from charging money for justice. 3. All courts are to proceed according to the common law. 4. All equity courts are to acknowledge American jurisprudence, a well-settled and well-understood rules, principles, and precedents in all judicial decision-making. 5. When challenged, jurisdiction must be documented, shown, and proven. 6. All courts are to acknowledge the unalienable rights of we the people. 7. All judges are to obey the law of the land. 8. All judges are to make their oaths and bonds available from the clerk. 9. All judges are to cease and desist all fictitious de facto courts or be subject to removal of office. So ordered under seal, dated July 20, 2015, Jury Foreman. Now, there's a lot of footnotes in these papers, so there's a lot of proof behind every word uttered in this paper. And, of course, some of these words, as we read, were actually decisions from the Supreme Court over the past 200 years. And basically, that's what American jurisprudence is. And American jurisprudence really goes way back. And Marbury versus Madison, the establishment, was already in process. And that brings us, what, to 1803, I think that decision was made? So this paper, really, everyone should really reread this paper over and over, look at the footnotes, and come to an understanding of jurisdiction. Anytime anybody walks into a courtroom and declares themselves a man on the land or goes into any of that language or gets rid of their license or their Social Security card in order that they should have some kind of standing in their courts or make some kind of declaration of standing, what they are doing is responding to the fiction and thereby empowering that fiction. We are not to empower the fiction. We're to deny that fiction. That fiction is a fraud. It's a lie. It's criminal. And these people need to go to jail. That's the end results of that. And whenever we give it, whenever we exercise any kind of a action in order to appease that court so that we think we're going to get some kind of justice from that, and boy, are we mistaken thinking we're going to get any justice from an unjustice court, you know? Look, at anybody appeasing them in any way by performing any action is just giving them reality. That's all you're doing. You're giving them reality. One of the reasons why they are silent in the courts is because we don't give them the option of reality. They have no words to speak. They cannot respond. We make it clear what they are doing is not only unjust, it's criminal. And they deserve to go to jail for it. They are incarcerating the people of the United States of America. And we have to stand up to it and call the fiction for what it is, a fraud, a lie, and no reality at all. And again, anytime you start to squirm and execute actions in order to appease or get around or try to trap them, all you're doing is giving them power. We can't give them any power. So anyway, if anybody who doesn't understand this and doesn't go into the courts with this state of mind, you're going to lose because you're in their court, you're in their sandbox. They're going to win, and they're going to make the decision in the end, and you're going to lose. So you have to call them for what they are, criminals. I mean, I'd be very careful about calling the judge a criminal in court because he'd be caught for contempt of court. But there are many ways to call him for what he is by using the words of the United States Supreme Court, the Supreme Court of the United States of America, using the words of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, the Holy Bible, etc. So you don't have to use your words, but you can show them where others have said what they are. You know, their darkness is what they are. So, okay, anyway, that brings us to the end of that paper. Let's see what else we have. We're really trying to empower the people. We're trying to educate the people. We are at a point in National Liberty Alliance where we're really making big moves to really give the people the necessary education to be able to write papers so that at some point in the very near future they will be able to stand on their own feet with knowledge and power. Knowledge is power. In their own counties and do what has to be done. And that's what we all need to be doing across America, every single one of us. So that's where National Liberty Alliance is trying to lead people to. I have said this over and over again. We've said it from day one, and every once in a while we bring it up at some point. The people must increase, and National Liberty Alliance must decrease. But until that point in time comes, you have to become educated. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is trying to lead people to become educated, to become organized with others across the nation, to unite in one accord as we the people in order to take these people down and bring back justice into the court, to reinstate the king of the court. And that's the last part and the most important part of this. That king is God. Anybody who denies that, first of all, we're not going to be blessed. And we'll end up with a court of man and not a court of God. The king of our courts is God. However you understand him, that's fine. But it is God, the creator, the governor of the universe. Okay, I don't think we have any questions that were sent in. I don't know if anybody else has anything to announce. I know, G. Gary, you spoke, and Gerard, you spoke.
Yeah, John?
Yeah,
John, I just received an email that I think is really good. I'm going to kind of paraphrase a little bit here, but is it possible that the enemy is looking for toeholds in the NLA since we stopped the Bible studies? And maybe that's something that we need to re-examine, because if God is for us, who can be against us?
Well, you know, absolutely. Look, I haven't stopped my Bible studies. I read my Bible every day, and people should be looking into the Creator every single day, spending some time, even just a little time, even if it's only a few minutes at a time here and there. The only reason I stopped, and by the way, our Bible studies were not very well populated. We had only a handful of people, maybe sometimes a dozen people would come. So, you know, we have very large groups, but when it comes to looking into the Word of God, people seem to shy away, and they shouldn't. They really need to be getting into these things, and it doesn't have to be through any studies that I give. You can look into your own Bible. The best way to learn is pick up your own Bible and just read it. That's the best way to learn anything, and then pray to God for wisdom, and He's the one who gives it. But I had to stop it because I was just becoming exhausted. I have numerous situations in my own life. We've got lots of papers. We're growing in leaps and bounds. We got phone rings off the hook. And so I have set it aside. And where I was going also, I just wasn't ready to teach on anyway. I am looking forward to hopefully getting back to that very soon. And hopefully people will come to that Bible study and ask questions and be concerned and focused about the things they need to know. You know, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. That's what Thomas Jefferson said concerning government. How much more concerning God? If you expect to be ignorant but have the liberty that God gives and know nothing about it, how can you possibly have it? How can anyone even know what liberty is? You know, I thought many years ago, I thought I understood what liberty is. I thought it was a certain amount of freedom to be able to do certain things. But it's much, much more than that. Much, much more than that. You know, the person who really discovered liberty for us in the United States here was Thomas Jefferson. He's the man who dug deep into ancient peoples to discover, you know, what form of government can we have. And he found the answer in going back to about 1600 BC in a group of people called the Israelites, where they had 400 years of prosperity, success, and they were undefeated for 400 years. Why? Because God was their king. And at the end of that time period, they came to Samuel and said to Samuel, "We want a king like the other nations, but you have God as king." "Well, we want a man. We want a king like the other nations." And so Samuel went to God and told God what the people wanted. And God says, "Look, you know, don't feel that bad. They haven't rejected you. They rejected me. I'm going to give them their king." And everything went downhill since. Same thing happened in England. You know, anybody who studies common law, go get the book. I say this all the time, this book, Common Law by Brent Winters. Go get that book. Understand the history. Look at the real history of common law and see what took place in England. And Jefferson spoke about it. The Anglo-Saxons have brought common law as we understand it. And he scratched his head thinking, well, these people didn't have the Bible. How could they know what they knew? They must have had some connection, some way, some history, some relation to ancient Israel somewhere in their history. You know, my conclusion was the same thing when I was reading this book, you know, Common Law by Brent Winters. And when I was reading The Making of America, and we're talking about Jefferson, that was his question. How did they know? How did they know? And anybody who looks into these things and reads about common law, you have to come to, and if you understand the biblical position of common law, that 400-year rule by God on planet Earth, anybody who relates to that, you got to ask the question, how did these people know? They had to have had a past history in that and brought it down with them. And they brought it into England, and England flourished once it started, was applied. But the king became too powerful, and the king became self-focused, and the king became the king. And of course, like all tyrants, eventually, they bring everything to destruction, and that's where we have. Now we come to America, and George Washington was given the crown. And he rejected. He said, no, he understood what Jefferson had laid out. He understood what America was supposed to be and what our founding fathers put together on a paper, that it had to be King God and King God alone. For any other king will only bring us back into subjection and destruction. And so it was King God. But again, we have fell into the same trap, and we have men ruling in our courts. We have to return God into our courts if we're going to have any freedom, any peace, any happiness. To be able to have true liberty, you have to have God as the ruler, because only under the ruling of God will God even bless you with liberty. That's the other thing people need to understand. Liberty is a blessing, and we acknowledge that in the preamble of the Constitution, that they call this the blessings of liberty. The purpose of government is to protect the blessings of liberty. Liberty is a blessing. It's a gift from God. And the purpose of government is to protect that gift. The whole thing works together, and you're back to the king of the court. Move the king of the court, and it'll become void and a vacuum, and man will fill the place and bring us right back to where we are again today. So that's the problem. But yeah, I'd like to, hopefully soon, once I can find more time, because we have so many things going on. And let me tell you, the papers we write and the things we're doing, I truly believe we're doing God's work, because we're doing this with principles. And so as we work together in different meetings, and we have lots of meetings, lots of conversations, lots of phone calls, we have lots of work, lots of writings, lots of studies. And all of this is from my perspective, is to the glory of God. So I'm doing what I have to do. But I do intend on getting back to that soon. And And we'll probably broadcast again through Shake and Wake Radio. They're still with us and have been behind us since they discovered us. And matter of fact, they're the ones that asked me to do that Bible study and to bring it on to their radio program to do a live study every Saturday night. So we were doing it at 7 p.m. I think we're going 7 to 10. Let's see, 8, 9, 10. And then we reduced it to 7 to 9. So, but hopefully soon we will get back to that. I've just been too exhausted to be able to do that at this point in time. But again, we didn't put God's word aside to do something else because, from my perspective, this is God's work. So, anyway, anything else?
Well, John, this is Robert. I just wanted to bring up the fact that we do have an ordained minister in one of our committees. Perhaps we could approach him with helping Bible study class.
That's a great idea, and we're going to be looking for other other ministers that can work with us. They're chaplains. We're going to call them chaplains, and I believe the guy that we have right now is holds the title of chaplain, doesn't he?
He's an ordained minister.
Right, but I think he was a chaplain.
He's running the chaplains committee. Yes.
Right, and he's a chaplain with us now, and we brought him on board a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to get that information up on our directory once we revamp the page up there, and we're also going to be looking for other individuals as chaplain. They have to have the background now, and that'd be a good idea to see if we can't get some Bible studies. So I'll try to sit with him and others and discuss this and get something going. So. Good point. Good idea.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Gerard or anybody that has anything else? Otherwise, we'll move to opening up the mic. Okay, I guess nothing else. So let me move over to Q&A. Now, before we go into Q&A, there were people last week that didn't get on, so everybody give them 30 seconds. To get into the queue first. Also, anybody who's new that would like to have may ask a question or make a comment, get into the queue right away. Everyone else, you know, hold back 30 seconds before getting into the queue. I'll let you know when you can get into the queue. But right now, we only want people who were here last week and couldn't get on, people who are new, people who have never been on the mic before and would like to get on the mic, let's give these people the chance to get on first. So let me open up, and then I'll let you know when anybody can get in. It'll be about 30-second delay for that. But let's move into Q&A. The Q&A, all you do is hit star 6, and I think it says then to hit star 1 or something. I don't know. Whatever it tells you to do, just do it. But star 6 to get into the queue. Anybody who was here last week and didn't get on to the mic, or anyone that is new and would like to get onto the mic, or anyone that hasn't been on the mic in a very long time, let those people get in first, and then others behind them. Okay? A couple more seconds, and we're going to open it up to everyone. All right, anybody else that wants to get into the queue can now get into the queue. We'll take our first question. Gerard, you want to take it from here? I'm not going to touch the button if you're going to take it, so we don't have two people hitting
go
buttons,
ahead.
You know?
We got Crystal coming up, so I'll go ahead and click her. Okay. This is Connecticut. Crystal, you're open.
Hi, good evening. Yes, I've been doing this talk show, and I wanted to make mention of the National Liberty Alliance because we have a lot of problems going on up here in Connecticut with the foreclosures, education, abuse of children. I had one child put in a tied in a cage and stuff like that. People losing their jobs and homes illegally. They've been perpetrating a fraud. And we've been dealing with several issues. And I would like to know, John, can we make mention of the Liberty Alliance, which I've been telling a lot of people who have retired in the law enforcement, education, and all that, to bring them on board, and they are now listening on the line also. I just want your input before I do anything, you know. on how to go about it. And if you want to call me, or because I've been trying to call you for the past few weeks, because, but I said I will not go on there mentioning the National Liberty Alliance until I get your approval on what to say and what not to say, or whatever the case is. But I am giving people the name, the booklets, and the information. And we, you know, we've been trying to stir the people in the right direction as far as the courts, and we've been writing grievances on these attorneys and stuff like that, and, you know.
Yeah, well, let me respond a little to that. You know, first of all, I'd like to say that, you know, I get a lot of calls, a lot of email. I get a lot of snail mail. I get people calling me to help fix problems, you know, technical problems, and we have that information up there. I get people calling me asking very simple questions sometimes, and it takes up a lot of time, and I try to, you know, be polite and answer everybody and talk to everybody, you know, but it gets hard, and I'm very, very stretched
well,
out.
I'm working very close with a lot of people. Okay, go ahead.
With who?
With Sharon.
You're working close with what?
With okay. Sharon.
Right,
you know.
Yeah. All right. But I'll be available as much as I can possibly be, of course. Don't forget, you can get a hold of Gerard. Sometimes he's hard to get to. Okay. But there's others.
I don't
we have
think
other
I have
leaders
Gerard's
and,
number.
Well, if you call him onto Skype, you should be. Everyone should connect with him on Skype. And if you call him on Skype, you'll roll over to his phone number if he's
what
not available
Skype?
On
I don't
Skype.
Think I have Skype. I don't think
yeah,
well, Skype is a program. It's a small piece of software that we have on our machines, which gives us the ability to phone call each other through Skype. So we actually take actual phone calls through Skype, too. We can bring as many as 20 people. I've tested it up to 20. 21, it collapses. But 20 people, you can get into a Skype call. And you can exchange information. It seems unlimited. I mean, you can pass a gig of information right there over the Skype just by dropping it into the. There's also a text chat area. So while you have a conversation, you have a headset, you know, mic and speakers, but you also can drop information into the text chat. You have a text chat. So you can pass all kinds of stuff. It's a great tool. Matter of fact, it's a requirement for anybody getting into any of our committees, because that's how we communicate and have our meetings, and unless it's a large meeting, but our smaller meetings we do on Skype. And people get together as groups, and you know, we just, and you can see who's online and who isn't. The green light is next to the name as you put more and more people into your Skype as contacts. So that's one way to do it. But yeah, look at National Liberty Alliance, you know, we, you know, some of the things you brought up, you know, we're working with right now. We're working in family court with CPS and those problems.
Right.
We just made a direction. We've had some conversations with IRT, the people of IRT, and we decided that we're going to also start dealing with mortgages, you know, people who are, they're taking their homes away. We're going to help them prevent that from happening and do habeas corpus is there.
I'm very knowledgeable in that, and because I worked in that, and so did my husband. So I did that work for over 40 years. And as a matter of fact, when they came after me, I've been sending them the letters back and stating, can I see your contract? When did I sign this? They changed my mortgage. And as a matter of fact, everybody needs to look, because we all have our mortgage release, you know?
Well, you should join IRT and maybe also join with the family court people, the CPS, where we're working to get people's children back. You should join into one of those groups and give you know, some time with them, and you know, we're teaching them all to do, you know, writing.
Mm-hmm.
To respond in the courts, to do habeas corpus, which is habeas corpus, in my opinion, is the most difficult writ to write. Because it's got a lot of parts to it to begin with. So we're starting to teach people right off on the most difficult. So everything after that is going to be real easy, you know, to write other writs.
Well, I'm going to say writing is, I'm dyslexic, so as I said, the writing part is not my strong forte, but I understand as far as the laws and because I'm a big advocate in education and what they've been doing to the children, the parents. I mean, because it's a nightmare what's going on. So I'm always challenging them, and I'm pretty successful because, you know what, I do know the laws of the land because I dealt with all that from the background and what I've worked in. Okay.
Well, become involved with the groups as much as possible. You know, even
absolutely.
If it's only an hour or two a week, you know, hey, if we all gave an hour or two a week, that's a lot of hours, let me tell you.
Yes, indeed.
So but, you know, give an hour or two a week and learn as much as you can for what we're doing. But remember, you know, you could tell people that National Liberty Alliance is here to help the people. We are the people helping
exactly.
the people. And we
yep.
are the grand jury. We
John,
are the bench of the court. What?
Yeah, John, the question was, should she open up the NLA on her radio talk show? And I think the answer is yes. And if there
oh,
are people in her
sure.
group, if there are people in her group that have specific pains and want to join, when they join, they can put in their reason for joining what their problem is. And I've been adding links to our different committees to help these people that are registering.
All right. So
yeah,
what I'm going
to
do?
If you wanted to take some of the things we have here on Monday's program, and we have those the MP3s, we put them up at the end of every evening. You know, on Monday evening, we get them up on site. You can download
mm-hmm.
them. So you got the MP3, and you could make it shorter. You know, you can as long as you don't change the context of the conversation. But you know, you can make it shorter and make it work for whatever how you want to work it. Of course, you know, you can have us as guests anytime. We'll come on as guests at any time. And,
okay.
And then you can
and
offer
every
people
Wednesday.
That the people can have help here. Sometimes we can't help people right now because, again, we want to deal with people who are in jail, get them out of jail or going to jail.
And
we want to help people
who
lost their
topics.
Children. Right.
Okay.
We want to help people who lost their children and get the children back. And now we're going to move also into homes. Now, there's a lot of other kinds of cases that we will eventually help, but we can't do them now because we want to focus in on those things first. But once we get to the other side of this system, in other words, get back to the common law side of the court by getting back into the courts, which I think is going to happen soon. I think it's going to happen this year. I really feel pretty confident in that. But once we get there, then we're going to flood the courts and people will be able to go anywhere. In their counties, they'll be able to find people and get justice and get their problems corrected.
Okay, this is what I can do. And you just, okay, we can give a brief introduction with the number and when you, you know, and when to listen to the calls and give them the callback number. But also, you said that you could come on the air. So it's every Wednesday, and you said it's only from 7 to 8 o'clock. So we can, you know, tie you in, even for a half hour, to give the summaries. And if you want to just give your points on the people's rights for the foreclosures and also with these debt, children being taken from their homes and stuff like that. I think that would be right on point because, and then we could just tell the people just to listen in on the calls and this way we can, you know, because this is for the whole state, plus it's in New York.
Right.
So,
we can come onto the program anytime you want and spend as much time as you want, and we'll give them a little synopsis of who we are, what we're doing, and then kind of open to an open forum specific for the questions they have, whether it's mortgages or whatever the case may be.
Okay. When do you want to do this?
Well, you have my phone number, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
hey, John, how about if I get Crystal and you together in the next day?
Right. Yeah. If
right.
You can,
okay.
That's
and as
point.
I said, we could do it. We could
if
do it even. Go ahead.
If you can't get me, that is a good way to get me, is to go through Gary or Jan or Gerard, because they can get me a lot quicker. You know, I ignore my phone often, and but I'll take a peek, because if it's one of the leaders, I need to be available for the leaders at all time. And so anybody really that's involved with leading a group, the IRT group, or whatever committee's going on, you know, I need to be available as much as I can. But even to them sometimes, I'm hard to get. So,
yeah.
But
okay.
I'll do the best. But you can get
me
easy and go to them.
Yeah, we're at 10
Gary,
minutes.
You, Gary and Jan, I believe you both have my number.
Yes, I will be hooking you up.
Okay, so, and we will be in touch.
So
because
we're
going to
hook
up. We could do this. We could do the hour, whatever time you want to do it, or whenever you want to do
all
it.
Right.
You let me know, and we'll make sure you have that slot whenever you're available. It's every Wednesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Okay?
Very
okay.
good.
Okay, absolutely. And I feel like I'm 16 being hooked up. Thanks.
Okay, no, but that would be great. But I, because, you know, for the past few weeks, and I'm sorry because I guess every time you called my name, I must have fallen asleep, you know. But,
okay.
All right.
Thank you, Crystal.
All right. You have a good evening, and I'll speak to you later. Yeah. Okay.
Indiana, Dolores, you have the mic.
Yes, this is Morris from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And a while back, I told you that I was having my summonses confiscated so that I could not have them served. And you told me to do a writ of error, so I did a writ of error on two occasions. And I've also sued several judges and clerks, but I'm not getting any results. They're still doing the withholding of summonses. So the next thing I started to do was to say, since I wasn't able to serve them, I just used my claim affidavit and sent it to sheriffs and marshals in the area, the counties where the courthouses are. So I'm still not getting action from the sheriffs and marshals to get any arrests done. What do you suggest that I do?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know if you said you wrote a writ of error. Was that on a case that you had in court?
Yes.
Or a case that they had against you as a
me charging them. Yes. It's,
so
it's
you went in as the plaintiff, and then you gave them a writ of error.
That's right.
Well,
then also.
But this is a state court or a federal court?
It's federal. This is federal.
It's federal. So you started that case in federal, or did it come out of the state and it's up to federal now?
It in federal, yes. Started in
but
federal.
I mean, did it originate there, I guess was my question.
Well, I started with a tort claim in Washington, D.C., and they gave me denial. And believe it or not, I got a second denial the day before my first denial was dead.
You know, one of the things you want to consider doing here, and we're hearing that people are doing this and we encourage this, is people are taking our paperwork from off of our website that have been filed with an index number that we created. We created an index number, obviously, and we wanted it uniform across the United States, so we told them what the number is going to be. But one of the things you could do is to take our papers and use our papers as exhibits and to force them to obey the law. And look at here's what the common law grand jury has said, and this is what you guys need to be doing. And this paper we wrote today, well we read today that we wrote over the past weeks, and we filed it this morning. That paper is a good paper to bring them into the proper jurisdiction. But remember, for anyone going into the courts, anyone that's going to, you know, go into the courts to make a battle, you got to do your homework. You got to know what you're doing. I perceive that you have some experience and that you do know somewhat what's going on and you understand some of the process and procedures of the court and that you've looked into common law and that you know how to write a court of record to begin it, you know, to open up a court of record and that kind of thing. So you have to have all those experiences, and then you have to have some experience in articulation and to be able to put the judge into a quandary, you know, like starting to wonder about you. And then you gotta keep them on the defensive at all times. You have to be the offensive. The moment they make a move, you have to see that move and counteract that move immediately, and normally by suing more people, ultimately.
That's what I've been doing.
Yeah, and so you keep moving in that direction. That's the only way you're going to get any kind of a conclusion in the court. But even there, remember, you know, you got to know what's going on. You got to see what they're doing. You got to see their moves, and it's an uphill battle. It definitely is an uphill battle. So it's
tough. I haven't been get past the summonses yet. They're still holding all my summonses, every one of them,
mm-hmm.
every case. So is there a possibility, well, the sheriffs and the marshals should be doing something, but so far they haven't done anything, and they've had over a month to start activating.
Yeah, they don't understand yet. They really don't understand their powers and authorities. They're afraid. They don't have, you know, something really to hold on to. We're trying to give them something, and I don't know.
With all my information on my paperwork, they've got something in their hands because I've given it to them.
Well, the other question is are they reading it? You know, that's another problem we have is getting things to people and having them read it. So, but look, you know, people should be going to their Oath Keepers meetings, and they should get Oath Keepers involved with us to understand the law, and then they convince their Oath Keepers to run for sheriff. We need Oath Keepers running for sheriff. That's who we need running for sheriff. We should have started this campaign years ago, but you know, I haven't thought of it until recently, but I don't know, I guess nobody else has either. Look at Oath Keepers, you know, belong to an Oath Keepers group. Consider running for sheriff. Get in there and enforce the law. Learn the Constitution. Come take the test here. Take our civics course. We're putting together a constitutional course. And we already have constitutional courses, but we're going to put something even more stronger. And we'll train people to write, but learn what the power and authority of the sheriff is.
As I can do. Now, is there such a thing? Say they think they're just fighting me by myself. Is there such a thing as you communicating to the four courthouses in Indiana and inform them that you know about what's going on with me?
Well, what you could do is you could take the paperwork that we just read today, get a copy of that, and bring it into the court as an exhibit and say, look at here. Here is the law, and you guys are not following it.
Okay.
When you guys, first of all, look at, when they need to be judging, you know, anytime they make a decision, excuse me, how did you make that decision? What jurisdiction are we actually in? Because you need to be acting under jurisprudence, number one. And I don't know that I gave you, since I opened a court of record, you don't even have the opportunity to make any decisions here because this is not a chancery court, and I didn't open up an equity court. So what are you doing making any decisions? What are you doing dealing with any motions from the other side? We should be getting ready to take this before the jury so that they can come to a conclusion of the matter.
So you can ask them questions in your paperwork. I've always made declarations. I didn't know you could ask questions.
Well, depending on who you're talking to, you don't want to go asking the judges questions in your paperwork per se, but you do want to ask in the court the questions because you're perplexed by the fact that it's not operating as a court of record. So what's going on here, Your Honor? And by the way, you know, here is a paper filed by the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury in all 94 courts and served upon all 9 justices there in Washington concerning the problems in the court. And this very court right here, what's going on right now, you guys are moving under chancery, under the rules of chancery and not under the rules of common law. And this is a problem. You need to object to that. You need to understand how to be able to look at that whole picture, write a writ of error, overturn any decisions they made within that writ of error, and then move on. But, you know, once you get to a point where you tell the judge one thing and the judge ignores you, goes a different direction, you got to get him off the bench. You got to remove him from your court case. And you do that by suing him in another court. In other words, in the federal court system, because it's a federal court and it's a federal violation, it's an unalienable right violation of due process. So, but it's got to be a different case.
You're telling me I did the right thing because I went, instead of going to Fort Wayne, the next case I took to South Bend, and I was figuring on going to Lafayette the next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do it that way. Those are different courthouses in the same federal district, right?
Yes, and all in Indiana.
Yeah, you could do it. That's a good way to do it.
Okay,
kind of, you have to name the judge though as a defendant. You have to put him in the case because then he's recused. He can't come back.
And all the lawyers. Don't let the lawyers get
lawyers
away with
and everybody,
because they're conspirators.
I don't
have any lawyers involved as yet.
Yeah, but there are lawyers on the other side. No.
Yeah, that's right. But they're not showing their face.
But you got to have a name somewhere. It's got to be a lawyer on record.
Well, then what you do is you put John Doe as the lawyer, attorney John Doe.
No, but
okay,
but if you
well,
go
I've got
to
a
the
John Doe counselor, yeah.
Go to the docket.
There you go.
Go to the docket, and you will find whatever lawyers are the lawyers of record. It can't be an unnamed lawyer of record. There's got to be a lawyer of record on that case. Go get it.
Okay.
It's in the records.
Okay, so get a lawyer of record. Okay.
Okay,
so
and sue him
I'm
along as a conspirator
right,
with the judge.
Okay, so I thank you for that. I really appreciate all the paperwork because you shaped me up a whole lot. Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Doris. We're going to move on here to David in Missouri. Okay, David, you have the mic.
I don't think so. Something happened.
Hello, this is Sean.
Okay, so it's Sean.
This is Sean in Minnesota.
I did hear a voice came on and said you had the mic. So if David is here, I don't want to take his turn.
Well, no, I opened David from Missouri, but who is this, Sean from Minnesota? That's weird.
Correct. But first time caller.
Yeah, the third box down opened up, so let him finish and then try his
question.
Yeah,
go ahead, Sean.
I don't know.
Yeah, okay. This thing is being squirrely again.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sean. So, you're open. You might as well go.
Well, thank you. And John, you're the gentleman that is hosting tonight, right?
Well,
yes.
Both Gerard and myself, yeah.
Okay, yes, enjoy. Okay, well, John, you've already actually answered my question. I wanted to just start by saying I'm a small business owner in Minnesota being sued for overtime wages from a gentleman who was not hired as an hourly employee. He was hired basically as an outside sales and a commission to install doors. He was never an hourly employee. I am now being sued under statutes and the FLSA.
Yeah, but you're probably in an administrative court, and
exactly.
They'll
correct.
Call it that. You're in
exactly.
The Department of Labor,
yeah.
And if you don't have a contract with them, I want to tell them to go to Hades, because I went into their court a long time ago, and I didn't want to go into their court. I was going to ignore them, but I did talk to a lawyer. He said, hey, go in there and fight the battle. You lose, you can just go into the regular court after that, go to the Supreme Court then. And I followed that advice. And it was the worst thing I ever could have done, because in order to get into the Supreme Court, they put barriers there. I have to pay everything that they say I have to pay before I can take it into the appellate system. And I didn't know anything on how that worked anyway back then. But I did find out they're paper tigers. I couldn't believe what I got away with in that court. I mean, you wouldn't believe how the court went, believe me. But they're paper tigers, number one. But they do have some enforcement. You got to be careful. You got to say no, and what you could do, I'll tell you what, go to the IRT team, and let's do a habeas corpus for you, get you out of that court.
IRT team, okay.
Yeah,
now,
yeah Sean, that's under the committees in the website. If you log in under committees, there's the IRT team, and you will find John Rowe is the intake coordinator. He's got a phone number and an email. Hit him on both at the same time.
I will. Okay, thank you. Now, should I would probably piss off the judge a whole bunch if I put your exhibit in, the writ of mandamus, to the judge. I was wondering if that's something that I should submit. I do have an attorney.
Yeah, well, you've got to get rid of
it. What John Rose says here.
Yeah, I would say get out of the court. Do a habeas corpus to get out of court. Do whatever you have to do to appease the court for the moment. But once the habeas corpus goes through, you'll be out of the court. Then you can get rid of your attorney, and you can just don't go back no more, because we'll have give him a cease and desist order from the federal court.
Well, I am in federal court, and I'm trying to dispute that jurisdiction because I'm not in interstate commerce. That was my reason to get out.
That sounds like a different kind of case, correct?
No, they put
connected?
Me in. Yeah, they could. It's one case for overtime violations, but he. The
Do
complaint was written.
Do you have a contract with the Department of Labor? Do you pay into their unemployment thing and all that stuff? As an employer or anything?
Yes.
Okay, because that's a problem, because you may have a signed contract there, and you got to get out of that contract. Because, you know, when they took me in, I never was involved. I never had a contract. I wasn't paying into any of that stuff. I didn't want to participate. I paid the people that worked for me 100% of their salary, and that was that. If they wanted something more, they'd go find another place to work. That's all.
Well, I use a payroll company who takes out taxes, and then, I mean, I use their Social Security numbers. You know, I'm a normal corporation, a limited liability corporation. They're suing me personally and the company.
Yeah, it sounds complex. I mean, we can do a habeas corpus to get you out of the administrative court, but that becomes a little, well, they can't answer the questions anyway, so that would get you out of the court. because they'll default it. So you get out for default. If there was a way that they can answer, and they can answer because you do have, you are contracted to them, if they understood how to do that, then they can draw you back in and get their claws into you. But they probably don't understand how to do that. They won't understand what we're doing. They will default, and we'll get you out of that by that process. So talk with these guys, and we'll see if we can do something for you in that case for habeas corpus. There's no other way for you to get out of that.
Okay, so should I not forward over your warning to the judge, the mandamus, as an exhibit? Should I not include that?
Well, no, I don't know. I don't think your lawyer would like that to begin
no,
with.
No, he would. No, he would not.
And
he would think I'm crazy.
Yeah, I would stall as long as you can there and see if we can't do a habeas corpus for you. Get your story on paper.
How did they get him in the federal court in the first place? I don't get that.
Yeah, how did they
get him? I don't get that either, but
Interstate commerce.
Right, interstate commerce.
Nah, on overtime wages, that's a real stretch.
You think? Yeah. I don't understand that either. I've already spent $12,000, but let me move on to one other thing that I doubt I can help you, but I'm going to say this. You're far more advanced in your studies, but the birth certificate is the reason they get jurisdiction to take children out of the home. If you never signed over your birth certificate, they have no jurisdiction.
I understand that, but that's all fiction and fraud, and they boxed us into something that we can't get out of. Everybody gets a birth certificate. They very rarely can get out of a hospital without getting a birth certificate. But even with that, Social Security, they boxed us in. They've created a world, a statutory world, that we can't escape from these things. We've been incarcerated by them. And, makes the whole thing a fraud. No,
well,
listen.
Fraud,
what
right.
you have
it's
to understand,
fraud.
It's a fraud. They're fiction. It's a fraud.
They didn't reveal to you the other side of the contract, so you can't do that. You can't
and
sign
what about,
a contract with only half the information on the table. And not only that, you weren't even old enough to sign the damn thing when you got it. But anyway, go ahead.
Right, but knowing that they already have that jurisdiction because of the birth certificate, can you file a UCC one filing statement?
No, because what you're doing is you're entering right into that game where they want you. You start filing UCC. See, that whole system was made for them. It's all smoke and mirrors, and ultimately they know how it goes. Now, you may trump them on a statute or something, but the minute you do that, they're going to plug the hole, and you're going to end up falling into something much worse. I wouldn't mess with the UCC because it puts you into the fiction. I mean, that whole business of the birth certificate and all that UCC stuff. Look, you got to be able to tap dance better than Fred Astaire to
right.
Well, hold on. Also, their lower tier people really don't even understand the situation with the birth certificate. So when you come in with the birth certificate and you do this or that with it, and they're looking at you like you got six heads, and a lot of these, they don't even know what you're talking about. They're not applying that. Although on the upper level, that is the application, and that's their trump card in the end.
But they'll never bring it up.
And their trump card really is for them to feel comfortable, right, because they won't bring it up. It's just that they feel comfortable because, hey, look, we got them by a contract because of the birth certificate of this.
Words.
Look, it's all a fraud. It's fiction. Give it no heed and move forward. And when it shows its head, to tell them what it is. It's fraud. Use our paperwork to do that. But that's a little difficult if you have a lawyer. And you're not going to win the battle in your courtroom, by the way. It's just not going to happen. Stall for time, and let's see if we can't do a habeas corpus.
All right, we're out of 10 minutes, John.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right.
Okay. I'm going to open up David from Minnesota, Missouri, once again.
All right, here I am. Can you hear me?
There you go. I can hear you, yes.
All right. I just wanted to let John know I've heard from Larry Klayman again, and this time he wants me to contact my representative, who happens to be Ann Wagner, and ask her to get involved with impeaching these judges that made this decision about Obamacare. So, but if he is not working with the right courts, it's pretty futile for them to even try to do what he's doing, is it not?
Well, yeah, we're talking right now, and we're not sure when and what we're going to do and when we're going to do it, but I think we are going to do it, is we're going to indict those judges. We're going to give them a chance to repent and turn around. First, let's see what they do with this paper we sent them. But, yeah, they need an indictment because they are in bad behavior. And being in bad behavior, that's because they went against the Constitution. Therefore, they can't continue in office. That's what the Constitution says. They continue in office as long as they're in good behavior. Bad behavior is violating the Constitution by whatever power and authority that they have and they exercise. So that's our next step. But, you know, we have to do it slowly, a little at a time. We have to feel ready to do it. We don't want to do things that are just going to sit there and not do anything. We got a lot of paperwork in there that may sit for a while to ferment and frighten and move. But as we move forward, we want to start getting some successes. So we can't move too
fast.
Well,
I won't be sending anything to this representative because, you know, it's asking her to impeach somebody. She won't.
They're not
going to
do it.
They're not going to. So. I'm just going to avoid it. Now, the other thing, you were talking about a Bible study, and I happen to be involved in one on the Internet, which is convenient. I'm not saying this should take the place of what you folks were doing, but this would help if you want to spread the word on CBN.com. It's got a Bible study that I've been involved in for last year and this year. And it's got both New and Old Testament in every day's reading. So just as a suggestion, okay?
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. You know,
when they get
into Bible studies, you got to pray for wisdom and pay close attention to what the teacher is bringing forward and see line upon line, precept upon precept. And any conclusion that any teacher ever brings, if you don't see it clearly laid out in the Bible study on how they got to that conclusion, you have to quiz them on how they got there until you can understand that. And it's got to be biblical because there are a lot of wolves in sheep clothing out there. So let's be careful with that.
I went through 8 years of a Bible study some time back, and it was very enjoyable. If my health were better, I'd probably get involved in it. But I take the easy way out and do what I can over the Internet.
Well,
anyhow,
God bless you
again for what work you're doing.
Well, bless you too. Thank you. Godspeed.
And thank you for your time, sir.
Gerard, you fall asleep there?
No, I'm not. I didn't want to take any more of your time.
No, I was talking to Gerard. He fell asleep there.
No, I hit the button. Nothing happened.
It happened now. There it is.
Can you hear it? Okay. Go ahead. Mine shows he's still checked, but maybe he's open.
No, he's unchecked. Trust. Once you hit that button once, even if you see the check there, trust that it's been unchecked. I think it's just delay.
Right.
It's when you hit it a second time or something, that's when you start to screw the whole board up.
Right.
Before you uncheck them.
Okay. Go ahead, Richie.
I just wanted to know if I could get an update on the presentment for the Utah thugs.
Say that again. Presentment for what?
For the Utah, the
No, judge. I wanted to know if you guys would give an update on the presentment for the Utah.
Yeah, that paper is still in writing. It's been delayed for numerous reasons. Just overwork. So much work going on. Papers we need to get in. We just put together. We spent thousands of dollars on some hardware. And we found out that we didn't get such good information, and it just cost us another couple of more thousands of dollars to get more hardware in order to establish the ability to send out all these faxes to different judges and stuff. So, you know, the program of National Liberty Alliance is moving forward, and it's taking up so much of our time that we haven't been able to complete the paperwork on that presentment. It's halfway done, I'll tell you that. And I think if we put another day or two into it, we can probably get it completed. And hopefully this week we'll find that day or two and get it completed. But there is a lot of activity going on in National Liberty Alliance everywhere. I mean, we are buzzing everywhere. And I'm involved with, you know, as much as I can here and as much as I can there. You know, there are some people complaining, you know, that one person is running the show or this or that or the other thing. Well, if they got involved in all the committees and really see what's going on, there's a lot of decision-making and things going on made by other people. Of course, we have to approve it to some degree for the purpose of harmony with what our purpose is and our goal. But generally speaking, there's a lot of things going on. People need to get involved. But that's why we haven't been able to do that. Complete that. It should have been completed weeks ago. But ultimately, we're still on time because ultimately, the fact that we haven't been able to do it, I think, is God's will, and it'll be filed at the right time. As a matter of fact, because we're going after federal judges, they are getting our papers, and they're going to get the paper mandamus we read today. They're going to get the, they already got the governor's paper we sent to them. They're already fear us from the last, you know, the decision at and words that they spoke in the court. We know that they're fearing us because they don't know what to do, make of us to begin with. And now when the papers come, I think it'll have a lot more clout because we've got other papers into the courts before. So
we'll
see what happens.
Can I make a comment on that?
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment on that, John. The reason that I even ask is that I think if once the presentment is put out, everybody listening on this call, post that thing everywhere. It's going to put additional pressure on all the judges around the country.
Well, that's
and
true.
The lawyers. That's what we want to do. That's our function, is to make these people wake up. So that's
right.
Once
the presentment is written and mailed out, okay, it'll be posted, and we will definitely talk about it on the following Monday's program. So everybody will know. And yes, that all the papers we do should be really, people should be downloading them and getting them everywhere.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. We have some potential enforcement out that way, too, that we're working on just underneath the tide of everything. So that might come to fruition at the same time. We'll see how that works through some different law enforcement agencies that are interested in what we're doing. So we're going to see how that works. So we are in the process of looking at that too. So I mean, as far as that whole Utah thing, I think it's very prophetic that we're out there, because I think that that's a winnable battle for us at this point. And once we win Utah, then we can go in for bigger targets, because it's the same thing. It's the same principle. It's just that, you know, there's less involved out there than there is, like, let's say, in New York. So we're really dedicated to finishing that out there. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and move to the next question. Thank you for that, Richie, anyway. Thomas, North Carolina, you have the mic.
That would be Mark in North Carolina. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, it says Thomas, but that's okay.
The question I had is, can we share, take these PDF files that we have of the paperwork? Can I actually take and distribute that to people not inside in LA?
Well, what's that paperwork that we've released already?
Well, like the mandamus is that
look at anything that we've put out for the public. You can bring it anywhere you want. Look, it's out there. And we expect people, as a matter of fact, I keep telling people, you know, you should be talking to your local officials, your local sheriff, because God forbid anything happens, you know, your battle is in the county. You want to make sure that the officials that are going to be running your county are up on this stuff, and that they're honorable people and that they're constitutionalists. So, you know, anything like the sheriff's paper and the mandamuses and the Corwantos, you can feel free to bring them to anybody. And, I mean, go with a couple of people and sit down and talk with them, especially the sheriffs. And like, you, if you have a county board of commissioners or something like that, you should be talking to them. They're always a little harder because you got 12 or 13 people there that, you know, you got to get them, you know, the majority of them on board. The sheriff is a no-brainer because he's a single guy and he's an elected official. And so, you know, you might have better luck with somebody like that. And look, once you find out where your sheriff sits, if he doesn't know the Constitution, and he doesn't want to know, if he's not receptive to this whole thing, especially at this time in the nation, you get rid of him. You start campaigning against him. You get somebody to run. Find an oath keeper or somebody to run. They're usually ex-military or law enforcement. They fit right into that police work, and have them run as a common law sheriff, which means that if there's no injured party, there's no crime. I think that's a great platform for somebody to run. And I would tell my sheriff that if he doesn't agree with these things, I will personally help him out of office with a fellow that's going to uphold the Constitution, you know, and our unalienable rights, the Bill of Rights. So yeah, feel free to put that stuff out there. It's not a problem.
Now one other question: Are we making any moves with these people that are with the group with the states that are starting to mandate that everybody has to do the vaccines for the children?
Well, we haven't written any papers on that, but we actually have a committee that's working on that. You know, we're making contact with and have information. You know, Gary Null, I don't know if you know who Gary Null is, very, very big fella on anti-vaccination up here, especially in the Northeast. He was because New York started that early on. And he was a big voice. So yeah, we're not going to let take that laying down. California, I don't know if they signed it into law, but they passed it in their house. One of the most restrictive vaccine laws that takes out the religious exemption, which I don't know how they're going to do that. I mean, look at they got all this Islam stuff going on, and they're going to tell them that they have to take a vaccination that has maybe a pig blood in it and everything else. I don't
know.
Hey,
you know what? You know what we should do and look into seeing if we could. No, we could do it anyway because we're the people. But we should look into see what's in the past, see if anybody's ever done writ of errors to Congress and overturned them by the will of the people. I mean, I doubt anybody's ever done that, but we're coming in the power of the people.
I don't know. This isn't a national one, is it? I know the states.
But
are
even
doing it.
Even within a state, we could do it. But look at, just take this last decision right here on the Supreme Court. We should send a writ of error to the United States to the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Well, look,
that's
at,
what
look
we
at,
should do. That's our next move.
The governor of Texas sent his own. He told everybody in his state, "You ignore that order. It's unconstitutional." That was a verbal writ of error to those people. And with the governor of Texas, and I agree with you, John. We should send a writ of error from
we should
the people
send them through Congress, send them up to the Supreme Court, especially this last ruling they have. We should overturn their ruling.
I agree. We should do that.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, Thomas, did we answer that question sufficiently? I put him to sleep. Okay, I'm going to move to the next one. I guess we answered his question. What happened there?
You ended Q&A.
I don't know. Mine says off, and it won't move. It won't move to on. If somebody
hey,
hit
hold
it.
On. Let me. Nobody touch the board. Let me see if I can fix it. Hang on 1 second. Everybody's going to have to get back into the queue that was in the queue. So *6 to get back into the queue. Sorry. You must have hit the wrong button. What's going on?
No. Did not.
Well, somebody else's paws were in there.
No. I know. I'm on the next question button.
Well, we're sorry about that.
It's an inch and a half.
We'll build it back up. People are climbing back in. So.
Yeah.
But everybody be careful with their curses out there. Anybody on the board. But go ahead. You got it, Gerard. I'm not touching nothing. Hit that next question. Trust that it happened.
Well, I could tell it happens now. I realize in the question and answer, you see the guy's engaged, even if he's not unchecked. Okay, California Dave, go ahead.
Okay, hi, guys. My apologies to all the people who got knocked off, but the opportunistic person that I am, I cut my place in line, so I'm really sorry about that. But anyway, yeah, so I'm really excited here, and I'm looking forward to figuring out which committee can help us issue like a writ of execution or an arrest warrant to one or more of these public servants that we've already notified and given orders to, and they've ignored it. What do you guys think? What's the pathway to doing that?
Well, we have, believe it or not, we have certain law enforcement that's interested in maybe helping us with that. So I don't want to, if we can get a sheriff or other people like a provost, or people that have arrest authorities to do that for us. Look at the people can do whatever they have to do. We can make citizens arrest. We can give this to a law enforcement and require him to go arrest him and tell him if he does not, then he's doing felony rescue. You know, we could actually bully a law enforcement guy into doing his job. But it would be much nicer if we had one of these guys that's willing to look at the law, look at what we got, and say, okay, I can see that. I'll go and do it. But, you know, if we get a sheriff that wants to come in and arrest one of these guys that's ignoring us, the most important thing is that whatever county he's in, wherever he's at, he needs the people to come up and step up behind him. Because for a sheriff to go in and arrest a judge, especially a federal judge, that's committing, you know, political suicide, maybe even personal suicide as far as politics go and his neighborhood goes. So we want to make sure that we don't hang these guys out to dry, that the people are behind them. I mean, we know the people are behind them, but we have to have a good showing for that. And we've been discussing different ways of doing that, and we've had some law enforcement officials who contacted us. We didn't even contact them. So I'm still in the process of running those leads down. I think within the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to figure out if these guys are serious about what they want to do and if they're sympathetic to us enough to go ahead and exercise their authority on that. So certainly we're working on that. And as soon as we find that out, and we get the paperwork written, I'm sure we'll have a meeting about that. I don't know that we'll announce it before we do it because that particular judge would leave town, I think. So that part's going to be a secret, obviously, right?
So, yeah, thank you. Okay, and I would just add that when the sheriff says, okay, how do I know the people are going to be behind me, we direct his attention to all those papers that he's received and acknowledged and said, Mr. Sheriff, the paper is the people. The people right. are behind the papers, so the papers are behind you. The people are behind the papers, therefore the people are behind you, literally and figuratively, and we will be physically present because we're going to promote the event like a rock star, either when you go to arrest
exactly.
people or to bring in the administrators.
Right.
You know? So we're going to promote these events to the media like a rock concert, you know, well in advance, so there's going to be plenty of publicity, plenty of curiosity seekers, plenty of mainstream
yep.
media,
yep.
All kinds of, it's going to be like a carnival. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all but the popcorn, right?
Yeah, so we're looking forward to that. Thank you. Dave's out.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. And
all right.
Look, if we get a couple of habeas corpuses that we do and are successful, that's going to give them a lot more confidence. So this is all kind of going to work together, so we need to move this big ship forward. And those habeas corpuses that come through and people that we get released out of jail before this happens is going to give those sheriffs that much more confidence in National Liberty Alliance. So, you know, as far as I can see. Anyway, I'm going to go. Next question is Connecticut Ed. And
yes, hi. This is Doug Millar.
Yeah, it's skipped. It skipped Ed, but go ahead, Millar. Doug.
Thank you. Okay. First of all, I've been doing a simulcast with my 5-day-a-week radio talk show for the first 2 hours of each NLA broadcast on Monday night.
Oh, well, we appreciate that. That's good.
And so I've talked to John Grash several times, and I was the one that recommended that we look into a fundraiser. John, you maybe remember that regarding the hemp oil.
Yeah,
right.
And so, yep.
And so I got another idea.
Yeah, that was with the those little things we were taking. We were involved in that for a while. So, but we, right. If you want to talk about that privately, give me a call during the week and we'll talk some more.
I just want to remind you who I am.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
I have a phone number in California, where Bohemian Grove was in Sonoma County, and I moved to Colorado, and so I know that you don't have much representation here in Colorado anymore, to recall. But that's another story. For right now, I want to tell you that I've got a really exciting project that I'd like to introduce to everybody in NLA to tomorrow night at 5 p.m. Pacific time, and at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And so I hope you folks will write this down and write down this phone number, because we're going to have a internationally prominent person that we're brainstorming ideas on how, regarding the common law courts that he's already been involved in over in Brussels, Belgium, and very successful doing. And so I wanted to just give you our conference call phone number and the access code. Is that okay, John?
Sure, go right ahead.
Yeah, put it out there. Okay. This is tape, so people will go back and get the MP3. So state it clearly, because I'm sure they'll go back and listen for it. Go ahead.
Exactly. Okay, so first, before I do that, I should check with you. I just got an email today that NLA member Troy Matheson, I don't know what state he's in, but if he's listening, I'd like to give out my phone number and encourage people to call me, not just Troy, but other people. My phone number is 707-396-8215. I repeat that. 707-396-8215. And as we all know, you're talking about in California, the state legislature, and how they're subverting the Constitution and everything. They used to be very strong on a lot of issues, and a lot of conservatives were in the legislature, and now they gerrymandered all the districts so that they almost have total control. And they just passed a law here in the last week or two. I think it was just in the last week. They changed incest from sexual abuse with little children from a felony to a misdemeanor. And Jerry Brown will sign it, because he is a Jesuit attorney who, of course, most of his life he's been single, because he's basically a sodomite. And so I lived there in California many years.
Wow, how destructive, how further destructive can you get, huh? That's amazing.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Unbelievable.
And we all know what Jesus Christ said. If anyone harms these little children like the ones around me,
the angels behold their faces. Amen.
Well, more than that, he said
a millstone tied around the neck.
Exactly. Millstone hung around the neck, cast in the sea, and drowned.
Right.
He didn't say we'd put him on trial and give him appeals for 20 years. It destroyed him. No, right. So here's a phone number, because this is the kind of issue we're going to be talking about tomorrow for an hour. 218-548-3640. And I think we can attract thousands of new members into NLA.
What's the access code?
Well, I'm going to give you the number again first, but it's 218-548-3640. And the access code is 1776 pound. Okay. And so I hope that.
And what time is that?
8 o'clock Eastern.
8 p.m.
Yeah,
Eastern time.
And it's 5 o'clock Pacific. So the rest of you can figure out what it is in the neighboring state. Now, in addition to that, I covered the issues. I think I've covered just about everything. I just want to use my notes here.
What's your first name? I'm sorry.
I'm Douglas.
Douglas.
M-I-L-L-A-R. And I've been involved in politics. Bill Bright, founder of Thomas Through Savior Christ, led me to the Lord in 1964, just 2 weeks before the Good Friday earthquake up there. That many of the bars collapsed into the that quake in Anchorage, Alaska, where I was raised from age 8. When I moved up there in 1945. So I got over 50 years of experience in politics, and I just want to offer that. I'm working on so many things. I feel like the Lord called me out of the business world to get involved in exposing the child abuse that was occurring in Sonoma County where Bohemian Grove is, okay? And so that's where I've been since 82. And so the bottom line is, the bottom line is that since Bohemian Grove is there, you can imagine how what a sewer that is. They got all kinds of satanic symbols all over that county. And 333s and stuff, the Illuminized symbols and all that stuff. So I know I've been studying the Masons and the New World Order and Illuminati since 1967. And so I'm a wealth of information. I just can't be involved in too many committees right now because I'm working on an agenda to help us nationally and internationally. And a man that's speaking tomorrow is the acting secretary for an international tribunal that's been going after the pedophiles, Satanists, and people that torture and murder children worldwide. And so you got 20 years of experience in that. He's a preacher that learned about when he. Anyway, bottom line is, I guess I've taken enough time, John. Thank you so much for letting me to speak. And I hope that all of you will spread the word and get more people to listen tomorrow because we can handle 800. People on a conference call, and then we have a backup with another 800. I'm not going to give that number out. The one's good enough. But
right. Okay. Yeah,
we definitely appreciate that. Let me repeat the number. It's 218-548-3640. That's tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the access code is 1776 pound. And anybody that can get out to this. A conference call, it sounds like it would be a good idea.
We appreciate that. Hey, it looks like I opened up Connecticut Ed. He was next in line anyway, so go ahead, Ed.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Gerard. I just wanted to ask if you or John ever heard of any law that forces public officials to, and anyone in public office or even city workers, to be to put things in writing in requests. Like if you asking for something and say they're for whatever they're doing, if it's a positive or negative, to force them to put that answer in writing.
There is a code that says that. As a matter of fact, we used to hand out those public servant questionnaires. I don't know if you remember when they were big. Asked pertinent information of that public individual. You know, what was their capacity? What was it? This? They never liked to fill that stuff out. But I don't know what the statute is, but I think that there's a federal code that says that anybody that's serving in that type of a capacity, they have to answer to the those certain questions to the public. I don't know. It'd be interesting to dig that up.
We should really start pushing the question, and everybody should do this at every level, everywhere. We need to push this as much as we can. And the question is by what authority? Whenever anybody, they go to make some law, they try to get something going, you know, where does this authority come from? Can you show us where in the Constitution you have that authority? And that's the question everybody should be asking every elected official every time they meet up with them.
Excellent. Yeah, I could see you, you gathered where I'm going with this thing. I mean, because, you know, any little thing could help. And if we could make them accountable in any type of capacity, it could just be so helpful. Because remember, they've taken away our ability to record them for confirmation, at least in Connecticut and maybe 10 other states, you know.
There's a federal law. There was two federal rulings that say that they cannot stop you from recording them. It's a public building in a public place in a public hearing. The only times that they can stop you is if there's testimony of a minor going on or something like that where they need to protect the identities or national security. And I don't think there's a judge out there that can claim that. So I don't know what Connecticut has said or what kind of statute that they're waving in your face, but there's actually federal Supreme Court rulings, that says that they have to let you, and that trumps any of their stupid statutes. So, and I do believe we have that on the site, don't we, John? The two laws that the court watchers use to show the judge that he cannot stop them from taping.
Yeah, I think we do have something up there. I haven't been too involved with that. Well, I know we've seen these things, and I'm sure we can pull them up and put them up if they're not up there. But we should go take a look to make sure it's up on the Court Watchers group there.
The only thing, you may want to let them know ahead of time that you're coming in with cameras if it's a court case. But technically speaking, they can't stop you from taping, you know.
Right.
They try to tell you, put it out or we'll arrest you or whatever. And if you have that Supreme Court ruling and you hand it to them, the cops, the guys in the building, you say, look, here's a federal ruling that you're bound by. I don't care what you think the law is in this town, but this trumps your law. And if you touch me, I'm going to sue you for kidnapping and harassment. So here's the law. Take a couple minutes. Make a phone call. I'll back off for 5 minutes. Look into this. I'm telling you, it's valid. Go look it up on the internet. But I'm bringing my camera in, and don't you think of stopping me, because if you do, you're operating under color of law, and I'm going to sue you personally as a person, because you're not covered under any immunities that you think you have. And you believe me, they usually back off because they're not lawyers. And when you talk with assertion and authority like that, they'll usually back off.
Right. And they don't want to also take the chance of a suit where they can't be covered by their employers. So that definitely.
And what they don't realize is every suit that comes in, practically, the insurance company immediately is looking for a way out of that. I was on a town board and I faced a couple of them suits. And we had somebody that brought a suit against us. And they immediately sent us these form letters that if you did anything that was outside of your jurisdiction, your job description, this, that we weren't going to cover you. You have to
right.
Take care of
yourself. Right, I got you.
So don't want to pay either. So it's a powerful argument, believe me. And if they've been in any kind of office for a while and anybody sued them, they've received them letters from their insurance company. So they'll have flashbacks real quick if you start talking like that.
Understood. Right. No, that makes a lot of sense with that. And just that initial thing I mentioned, though, about the, basic laws or whatever that would force any official, and that would be city employee or anything, where they would, have to be accountable.
Did you ever see the public servants questionnaire? I think I'm going to dig mine out. I think on that public servants questionnaire, it gives the U.S. code that says that they have to answer it. It's a good point. I'm going to dig it out. Maybe we'll mention it next call.
Thank you.
They were very popular 4 or 5 years ago. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many videos you watch of cops and stuff. When people ask them for their card and their badge number and their name, now what you're doing is you're putting the shoe on the other foot. You have the officer answering questions. They get very uncomfortable, and especially when they're on tape, it changes the whole tenor of the experience. You know what I mean? So anyway, that's a good point, Ed. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Gerard. I'll let you and John go to the next caller, and we'll just follow up on that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Yeah. Let's see here. It's not working. Okay, I have Don on VOIP. That's strange because I have him as the next question also. But go ahead, Don. You have the mic. I hear you typing or something.
That's a web dial-in, and they're all called Don.
Oh, okay. So will the real Don please come forward? I think they're asleep. I'm going to go ahead and hit the next question because maybe that was you I heard, Gary. Okay. We got another VoIP dialer. Are you there?
Hi. Yeah, this is Daniel. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Very well.
All right. Hi, John and Jared. I'm from Sullivan County, New York. I'll obviously relatively close to death. Yeah, thank you. I'm relatively close to Dutchess County. I've done work in Dutchess County at the Marist Community College.
Uh-huh.
It's not a community college, but the Marist College.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Yeah.
Right. I'm interested in the civics courses that you have to offer and setting up common law grand juries here locally. I've worked as a substance abuse counselor, and I've seen a lot of things wrong with the system that we have here in Sullivan County. And just by your comment, I could tell that you've probably heard some of those things as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm familiar with Sullivan County. It's one of my favorite counties, but go ahead.
Right. So, I'm in contact with a lot of people here, some small organizations, and I'm just really interested on trying to get some of the things that you've done in Dutchess County.
If you join National Liberty Alliance, put your information in, you'll get a list of who's around you that you can call. And I mean, you have people close to you. I mean, I'm not even that far from you. I'm a little more north than you are. I'm in Greene County. But we have people down that way, and we have a lot of good people. So if you join up and you kind of hook with them and get with whoever's the county organizer and that, and see what's going on and see what you can see and breathe some life in. Look, we need 4 people per county for these common law grand juries. What we're doing is we're setting up administrations. We're not setting up common law grand juries per se. Although everybody that signs up on NLA is a potential grand juror or juror, you know what I mean, in their county, let's say. But ultimately, we want to set up 4 administrators to administrate to that grand jury and the jury. Like when the jury comes in, we're going to administrate it. We, the people, we're going to give them an 8-hour orientation so that it's not the judge tainting them or the prosecutor. We're going to explain that they rule not only on the facts, but the law, which means do they think it's a good law? Do they think it's being misapplied? You see, that's what we don't have. They've stolen jury nullification from us by the fact that they tamper with the juries. They psychologically analyze them, and they just keep picking and picking. And hence you have the situation where the prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich, as they say.
Yeah.
So that's what we're fighting. And look, if you're down there in Sullivan County, you got a lot of work to do in Sullivan, boy, let me tell you what.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And I know them from our committee man days. I could tell you stories. But anyway,
I like to hear some of them.
It was unbelievable. But, right. Yeah, we'd be glad to have you. And get in the committees. Figure out, you know, look at your substance abuse counselor. You have certain qualities and knowledges that I'm sure we could use. You know, I mean, look at, we're doing CPS intakes and these court things.
Right.
A fellow like yourself, you know, brings to the table a good experience that NLA could use.
I'm well-rounded. I'm well-versed in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and how to apply it and how it's being misapplied. And it's really good to hear people and to see people actually doing what is, in theory, we knew could be done. But now to see it being applied, I'm glad I found this group.
Right, right. You know what this is like? This is like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz at the end when the fairy godmother goes, just click your heels together, Dorothy, and say there's no place like home. You had the power all along. That's us. We didn't realize we had the power. And what we're doing now is we're asserting ourselves. We're stating it. Look, if the truth isn't proclaimed, you know, it prevails if somebody proclaims it. I really believe that. So
that's
what this is all about. So take that CIVIS course, because that's also a requirement. If you want to be a administrator, you need to pass that CIVIS course.
All right, I'll absolutely get on.
And
that.
It's like 100-something hours, but look, it's educational, it's fun. You know what I mean? You'll enjoy it. It's not that bad.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I'll let it go, and thank you. I'll be in contact.
Okay. We got Sean from Minnesota. You have the mic.
Hello, sir. I've already asked one question tonight. I'll go ahead and give up the floor if someone else wants to jump in that hasn't had a chance.
That's nice, because maybe we'll actually get through everybody tonight. Okay.
Go ahead.
If I run through, you can come back on.
No problem. Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. We got John R. You have the mic. Go ahead.
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Oh, super. I may have missed it already, but can you give me an update on the education of oral writing that you were offering a few weeks ago?
Say that. I mean, you're kind of breaking up, like you're over-modulating on the top end of your words. An education on, what did you say, form writing? Well, I missed that.
Yes. You were going to set up a class for writing legal.
The writ writing class.
Writ writing
right.
class.
Yeah, we had did have one meeting which we prepped I came in and spoke preparing for this, and we did post that information, that meeting up, didn't we, Gary?
I think you did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, I think we posted it up. What page do you remember? Was it the Juris page?
I'll have to go back.
We're going to create a special page for these audios, but we had an audio up there. I had two private meetings, maybe, I don't know, 10, 12 people were on the call, and we did some information on preparing and writing, particularly, mindset for writing. And we got three people that were training as instructors. They should be writing and preparing papers right now to give us, for us to correct and guide them, to proper form and make sure they cover all the bases for the writing of a paper, the writ of habeas corpus. And then they're to take that same paper, they'll be writing more papers to hand in, and we'll be correcting them. And when they start getting 100%, then we know we can trust their writing, without having to check so much. But they will, each one of those three instructors will be working with a group. Right now, it'll be kind of a large group, 20, 30 people apiece. And they'll be looking for potential instructors also. And we're just going to get more and more instructors per se. We need to build our ranks up across the nation. Ultimately, the goal is to get at least one for every state. But of course, we should get some states. We get quite a few of them in. So we do want more in each state. And this is how we're going to train ourselves, is by training each other. And writing is going to be probably the most difficult part of it, but really not so much, because we have put together some really good framework papers, whereas, you know, there are certain areas that are in red, and you can change the wording, but the frame of the paper stays the same. So it should be pretty easy. Some people will look at this and pick it up real quick. I mean, just because whatever experiences in life they have, they're able to do that quickly. Some people may have to struggle with it for a little while, but generally speaking, it's pretty simple. If you can write a writ of habeas corpus, and that's the one we're working on right now, training people to write, you can write any writ, because any writ after that, you know, is just a framework piece of paper, and then everything else is the facts of whatever that writ is concerned with. But once you have the framework, then it's just the facts. And matter of fact, I think we'll start producing those papers also. We'll start knocking out the framework of the different writs, which again, you know, there's quite a few different writs. We don't have to get into all of them, but just a few structures. And then also how to write a presentment. You know, when we the people bring a case before the grand jury as administrators, you know, I was thinking, and my thinking was an error, though, but I was thinking that when we bring it before a grand jury, that they would be writing a presentment because the grand jury would be doing something on their own accord. But really, thinking about it, that's not true. It would be an indictment. You see, we can bring a case before the grand jury, and they will take it on as an indictment, and the word indictment will be used instead of presentment. A presentment is when a grand jury is in action and looking at a case and considering a case, and they discover something off in left field, and they start to look at that to investigate it, and they find a wrongdoing, they can go and do what they want, and they can investigate it, and they can write a presentment, and it's the same thing as an indictment, and do this all on their own accord without any assistance or guidance or focus or anything by a prosecutor or even the administrators or anybody, because the people are the power, and that's what we need to teach the people. And now the administrators will be responsible to help these juries, these grand juries, to write it in form. But we have to be very careful, and we have to train the administrators to be very, very careful not to influence the grand jury beyond their own decision-making. We are just there just to guide them. They need to write it down, and we need to keep that as pure as possible as we put it in a better form for them, because they're not educated in the process. And this is what we're trying to do with people, is educate people in the process. You know, And some people mistake this requirement. You see, we have a duty, being instructors or facilitators of knowledge here at National Liberty Alliance, and we want to create more and more teachers, more and more instructors, and we have to become, all of us have to become teachers ultimately. But we have a duty to make sure that the people going in to take on these positions and to do these jobs are educated properly. They understand the structure and the process, the structure of paperwork, the process and procedures of the court and law. And it's not difficult. This is not, you know, you don't have to go to law school to learn it. This is all common sense and process. So this is what we have to teach everybody. And until they learn that, we have to oversee over them. It's a requirement. Some people are perceiving that as being a dictator. I hear that from time to time from a few people who are disgruntled here or there for whatever reasons. And they say, you know, oh, you're dictating this. No, well, we're training people. And obviously a student is not ready to go out and do the work of someone who is qualified. They're not qualified yet. And until they become qualified, they have to be restrained. And that's just the way it is. And it would be a wrongdoing for us to get people into the courts and give them no education, because we'd be creating only more chaos. And you'd have people coming in without principles. The king of the court definitely would not be God. It would be mankind just coming in. And a lot of people, some people have come into this thing with vengeance. And they have separated themselves from us because we didn't feed into that vengeance that they were bringing. They want wrath. They want vengeance. And that's not what we're here for. Even Hitler deserves the consideration of mercy. Not saying he's going to get it, but he deserves the consideration because part of the process, you have to consider it. And you may look and consider it and say, nah, mercy does not apply here, and it cannot apply here. We got to hit it with the hardest penalty that we can give, and that's a decision of the people in the court, you know. But anyway, we are working that process. Join up with the IRT team, get involved in the letter writing, in the paper writing, and anybody who wants to be administrator, that's a prerequisite. If people aren't going through that process, they're not going to become administrators. We will do everything we can to keep them out because they are not learning. And so don't think people are going to take a job. Anybody out there think they're just going to walk in and take a job and start making good money and just do what they want? No, it's not going to happen. You're going to have to take a vow, and you break that vow, then it's up to the other three people within the county to cast that fourth person out. First, of course, they should look for repentance to see if they can change the position of the individual and to acknowledge the fact that they were wrong and return back into the fold, so to speak. But that's the job of all of us, to be watching each other. You know, after all, we are our brother's keeper. And you know, if one person corrects another person and they don't accept it, there's a biblical principle. Go get your brother, get 2 years, and then bring three, you know. And if they still don't listen to that, they say, go get the church. Well, in our case, go get the county next door. Go get the people on the that are coming together as the state grand jury. But generally, the county next door, you can bring those people in. And they're fresh, they're not connected with anything that's going on in your county, and they can look at the case and the situation and make a decision, and it should be just as righteous as the other three people that are saying, hey, this guy's doing a wrongdoing here, and we either got to fix it or he's got to leave or she's got to leave. So, but anyway, maybe I'm going overboard in my explanation of these things, but all these things are important.
Yeah, thank you very much. That was well done.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I guess John R. is open. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to mention, you know, you should feel free to look at the other habeas corpuses that we do have on the site. Maybe get familiar with them before our course rolls out. You can kind of get an idea what they look like. And they are up there, the one we did for
out there in Utah is right there underneath. The line in the sand, it's right underneath it.
And
you could see all the parts of a habeas corpus because it's a process. You know, there first must be a petition for a habeas corpus. There must be the habeas corpus by the authority of the court going out demanding a response under penalty of law. And then there must be an affidavits with them. Then there must be, if they don't do anything and they don't respond, there's got to be a default filed. A default paper, and then the final decision or conclusion, shall I say, the final conclusion of the court, which is a decision and memorandum, which finalizes the whole thing and then puts the order to the court to cease and desist from all other activities and any other pursuits against this person in this case or any future cases under this case. So, you know, that's the most complex, writ out there. Everything else is really a one-paper dog, so to speak. You know, it's just one paper going out, and it's usually mandamus, which is a command, you know.
Right.
So writ of error is, again, one paper, and that's what we need to start exercising a lot more is this writ of errors. You know, we can go into courts and send forth a writ of error, being the grand jury, and in any court. And I think we should be doing that, I think, maybe with the United States, with the Supreme Court of the United States. And it's interesting, we should think about, like we mentioned earlier, about Congress, whether that's an appropriate thing, whether it's ever been done before. But nevertheless, again, we the people can do anything. You know, we got to fix the problem. And that, you know, we have a problem, and we acknowledge the problem. And we have to look at it and say, well, how can we fix it? And if there is no process or procedure to fix it or to approach it to be fixed, you know, we can create one because we have a duty to fix the problem. So we got to figure out how to do that.
Okay. Thank you, John. I have John R. open. He hasn't talked. Go ahead, John. You've been open. If you're there.
Well, I think that was John R. that was just talking.
I don't know. I hit the
His
next
mic is there. Still open, though, but...
Maybe I'm not understanding something here, but I was finished, and thank you very much. I'm just hitting this little mute button down here, so...
Okay. Yeah, I'll get you. Okay, we got...
Just so you know, we got 7 minutes left, so we got
okay,
two callers left.
We got Alaska. Go ahead. You're open, Alaska. You got a couple of minutes. Alaska, calling Alaska. New York, calling Alaska. USA, calling Alaska. You're open. Are you there? I guess my voice is not making it to Alaska tonight. All right, how about I open up Randall from Georgia? How about we try you, Randall? Are you there? Randall, are you there from Georgia?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yes, it's Gerard. You got the mic. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make a statement about your civil course. I just got a letter from Gary here a couple days ago, or an email, where he made a challenge. And one of the best courses I ever studied, I think. I got 3 days and passed 58 hours of it already, so I shouldn't be too far behind.
Right.
To his challenge, but very educational. I think you're all doing a great job, and just wanted to say thanks. So,
well, we appreciate that, Randall. It's nice to hear from people that are tackling that and get the feedback. That's a good thing.
Well, you know, you're never too old to learn, Gerard. Never too old to learn, and I love to learn.
Well, you're in the right place, then. Okay.
I sure appreciate you all. Floor is open by me. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
You too.
Okay. And with that, that's it.
That's scary, huh? There's nobody left in the queue.
Yeah.
Anybody wants to get in the queue, we still got 5 minutes. So. Well, you're going to have to talk, Gerard.
I got to talk, huh? What are you eating all my special candy here?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to talk to my daughter here. Yeah, go ahead. She's having a chocolate fit as we go off the air.
All right, we just got three new callers. New callers. We're not going to make it through them all now.
No.
4 minutes left. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sean.
Hi. Yes, I'm so glad I got back in real quick. First off, I met you guys by watching Pete Santilli. I think you should get back on his show as much as possible. That was a great...
Yeah, matter of fact, we just talked to somebody about him the other day. We did do another interview with him not that long ago, but...
Yeah, we were on his show a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. Yeah,
a couple of weeks ago. But...
Okay, well, the other thing is the Oath Keepers would be the perfect marriage to have people that will execute the laws and the things that you guys are trying to enforce.
Absolutely, absolutely. I did go to the Oath Keepers May dinner here in New York and spoke to them and suggested that they should really look into what we're doing. And we're looking, you know, and I also suggested that they really should concentrate on running some common law sheriffs throughout these counties, because the Oath Keepers would be perfect for that. You know, you get a sheriff that's not up on the Constitution or doesn't care. Look at put an Oath Keeper in there and get him voted in. You know,
I think that's a perfect marriage made in heaven. And
I agree.
They're already in positions of power. So with that being said, I'd like to just quickly, because I know we're out of time, talk about Jade Helm, End Times, UN. Global Government, Sustainable Development, Agenda 21. The UN, they've got a global constitution. They're going to have a global court. You know, how do we stay out of all of that? I mean, obviously by doing what we're attempting to do, but ultimately the Pope, you know, back to civil and canon law, the Pope's the creator of the Bank of International Settlements. He's the man, you know, and it's a big fight.
Yeah. Well, it's up to us where the rubber meets the road down here. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know how all of a sudden the Pope is so powerful. I don't know. You know,
he's been in the shadows the whole time, I think. You know, the Vatican, they've been in the shadows. The Vatican is in the Bible, Book of Revelations. He's the harlot riding the beast. And so we're going up against the beast.
Yeah, Yeah, well, it's going to be pretty exciting to see what happens. Look, doing what we're doing, I think, is the best way, and in my mind, it's the only way because it's very peaceful.
Well, you said it before. I heard John say it, standing in the truth. You know, right. When you stand in the truth, that's the best place to be.
Look, I tell people, you know, everybody wants to fight, and I understand everybody's sick of things, and it's getting to the point, you know, that they're frustrated. But, you know, when you fight with the pen, when you write a paper and it goes out there, that's more powerful than a gun because that paper has the potential to be copied and recopied and passed around. A gun never does that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the pen is mightier than the sword. It really, really is. And right now, we have the ability to use the internet, to use our fax machines, you know, the computers. We still have the ability. That's why we're in the game and we're in this war. And we have to win it by doing what we're doing, and we have to persevere, and we have to have solidarity. We have to stop fighting amongst each other for stupid, selfish stuff, and we have to get that goal in mind, which is bringing the blessings of liberty back to this country.
And well, amen. And on that note, we're going to come to an end. I appreciate everyone coming. Thanks a lot, Sean. All right, well, Lord bless everyone, and Lord willing, we will see you next Monday, and we will endeavor to try to get the Bible studies going back up again, and we'll see once what we'll be able to do there. And again, everybody needs to get involved. They got to get into the fight. Join the committees, get involved, and let's just get busy, and let's do what we have to do. Let's save America. All right. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.